السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، صلى الله عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك، عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت، وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم، السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا أنما نملي لهم خيرا لأنفسهم، إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما ولهم عذاب أليم، صدق الله العلي العظيم. Before I begin, let me reflect on what happened on Sunday night in Las Vegas. We as Muslims, as believers in God, as believers in universal justice, divine justice, as believers and advocates of a human rights for all humans, we condemn, strongly condemn, the terrorist acts. This is domestic terrorism. Though some people are reluctant to call it terrorism, but I don't know what name they would choose for a massacre that took the life of 59 people and wounded many others, about 500 others. These governments, they spent, I would say, billions of dollars trying to eradicate international terrorism. How much money they spent to combat and eradicate and stop domestic terrorism. Every now and then we hear a story somewhere in this country of people who were either at a church, temple, movie theater, kindergarten, school, university, concert, being massacred by a gunman who carries all sorts of weapons and he targets innocent civilians. And still, when people speak about gun control, They are considered an American, if you speak about gun control. What did the government do to stop these series of massacres that happens every week, every month in this country? They have to address this issue. People here deserve to live in peace. People here deserve to go about their life without fearing for their children, for their women, for their elderly, for their young ones, or for themselves. The job of the government is to provide peace and security for all of it, all of its citizens, everyone. This issue has to be addressed. We are very saddened and very shocked for what happened on Sunday. As soon as I heard the news, we landed at LAX. I called friends in Las Vegas who are at the Ahlul Bayt Islamic Center. We have an Islamic center which is about 5 years old in Las Vegas. And they told me that they are safe. In the evening they called me and they said, we are donating blood for the victims. Our center, Ahlul Bayt Islamic Center in Las Vegas, The men and women, the brothers and sisters, they gathered. They went to the hospitals to donate blood to the victims of this massacre. We stand with them. We stand with all people who are abused, whether they are in Las Vegas or Yemen, whether they are in America or Asia or Africa. We stand with them in solidarity. And we condemn these abuses of human rights, whether it takes place by an individual or a government or an army. They are unacceptable. Human lives has to be saved and protected. God says the most precious thing in this universe is you, human lives. It has to be protected. These days and nights, my friends, has a hero. And that hero is Lady Zainab alayhi salam. Her brother Imam Hussein, he concluded his 58 years life on the day of Ashura with success, with victory. He never spared anything. All of his children, all of his nephews, his brothers, they were given as a sacrifice to protect this religion, to protect this society, the human society, to protect justice, to promote peace and love and respect for mankind. Imam Hussein does not belong to the Shia community, neither he belongs only to the Muslims. He's a universal figure. A few days ago, during Ashura, there were many processions, not just by Shias, by Sunnis in some Muslim countries, Muslim societies, by Christians, by Sabians, by Hindus, by some Buddhists who believe in the cause of Imam Hussein. His cause is universal. His cause belongs to everyone who have faith and a trust in peace and justice and equality and respect for a human life. So people celebrated him. I'm going to elaborate on this tomorrow during the Friday prayers, inshallah. But then he handed in the banner to a lady. He brought this lady with him from Medina on purpose. It was a planned. It was a planned that this lady has to join him. With the permission of her husband, Abdullah ibn Ja'far, she left the city of Medina to join her brother so she can continue the path. She can continue the struggle. She can bring his message and his voice to us. Banu Umayyah, they tried to eliminate the voice of Imam Hussein. But it was Zainab alayhi salam who carried his message bravely. She was not broken. Imam Hussein said, I brought you from Medina for a purpose. Because you are my partner in jihad. You are my partner in resistance. Resisting tyranny and dictatorship and bigotry and racism. You are my partner. And she proved to be the best partner. The best partner. She lived up to her responsibility because she was raised by a brave man, by Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. She was raised by a compassionate mother, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. She was being prepared for the day of Ashura. She did not run away. Yes, she was in tears. I don't blame her. When she sees more than 20 people of her family, including her two sons and her brothers and her nephews being massacred, she was in tears. when she saw herself responsible for the rest of the family. And she's alone. She's alone. She has only God. She puts her trust in God. Imam Hussein said to her exactly what will happen tomorrow on the eve of Ashura. He had a private audience with Zainab in his tent. He said to her, "Ya Zainab, my dear sister, tomorrow you will see me right before your eyes, how those people are going to kill me, cut me into pieces. And your brother Abbas, your children, my companions. So I am telling you what will happen. And you have to live up to this responsibility. Promise me. I have no one but you to take care of my family. You have to continue this path." So he empowered her. He empowered her to stay strong, despite her emotions, to stay strong. Yes, we break in tears because we can't help it, but yet the heart is strong. The heart is connected to God, to the source of power, to the source of energy, the source of inspiration, which is God. And Zainab alayhi salam, historians say, even the eve of the 11th, which is Ashura in the evening, Ashura in the evening where there is no tent, she gathered women and children in the desert. No tent survived. All the tents were burned down after the murder of Imam Hussein. All tents. Even that night, she did not forget her prayers and her communication with God, because this is what she draws her strength and her power from God. She never forgot Salat al-Layl that night. But her sisters, they say, the only difference from with other nights, she could not stand on her feet. She was doing the Salat while she was sitting. Now that I speak to you, they are being taken from one city into another. Now the family of Imam Hussein are in Kufa. Before I say what happened in Kufa, we draw lessons from Zainab alayhi salam, that women are an important part of our society, our community. We should not neglect their role. We should empower them. We should prepare them. There is no better example than Zainab alayhi salam and her mother Fatima. At that time, the tradition was for women to stay at home, take care of children, prepare the food. But Imam Hussein proved that women have a much bigger role. Yes, they take care of children, they take care of the home, they take care of the family, but also they have a political role. They have a leadership role. They have a societal role. They should protect the larger society too, not just their own kids. They should educate and guide the larger society. They should protect their faith, what they stand for. They have a larger role. Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was the first female to address the crowd in a packed mosque, a mosque of her father, Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She stood on the podium, on the minbar, a minbar which was reserved only for men. Fatima al-Zahra, she broke this role. And she said, when there is something important to be said, it doesn't matter whether you are male or female. Gender here does not play a role. You have to say it. In a society which was a patriarch society dominated only by men. Women had no say, no role. Women had to stay at home. Fatima al-Zahra left her house. She came to the masjid. She stood on the minbar and she addressed the crowd. Courageously, bravely she addresses the crowd. And Zainab was a little girl at that time, watching her mother, watching her, learning from her. And Fatima alayhi salam, she did this to bring awareness, to fulfill her duty and her role, and also to inspire her children, because tomorrow you're going to have to do the same, ya Zainab. 50 years from now, you will stand in the market of Kufa to address the crowd. After that, in the market of Damascus to address the crowd. You have to give a speech, ya Zainab. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. If they silence your brother, if they murder him, justice should not be silenced. Justice and the truth are not going to be silenced. You have to continue. They murder your brother Hussein, thinking that there is no one. No one is there to speak about justice and the truth. But you, Zainab, have a role. Be brave. The first thing she did in a market, in a place, a city, which was hostile, the marketplace of Kufa and Damascus, both. These are the most crowded place in the cities, in these two cities. She addressed the crowd. They did not know who Ahlul Bayt were. The regime at that time, Banu Umayyah, not only murdered Hussein physically, they tried to murder him morally and spiritually. They accused Hussein of being a renegade, rebelled against a legitimate institution, so he deserves death. And many naive people, naive, they used to pray, they used to fast, but they were naive. They were naive. They believed Bani Umayyah. So when the caravan arrived into Kufa, they started cursing them. Imam Zain al-Abidin was the only male survivor. He was cursed by the people of Kufa. He was cursed by the people of Sham, Damascus. Because people were brainwashed. In the heart of Damascus, a man who leaves the masjid after doing his prayers with a white beard, late in his life, he stands before Imam Zain al-Abidin and he says to him, I give a praise to God that he murdered your men. قَتَلَكُمْ وَأَمْكَنَ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَزِيدَ ابْنَ مُعَاوِيَ مِنْكُمْ. And he enabled the leader of the faithfuls, the commander of the faithfuls, Yazid, he enabled him and gave him victory over you. Imam Zain al-Abidin was sorry for this man. He was not sorry for himself. He felt sorry for this man because he is brainwashed. He said to him, Ya Shaykh, let me ask you this question. Have you ever read the Quran? The man said, the old man, he said, Malaka wal Quran. How do you know about the Quran? Are you Muslim? Imam Zain al-Abidin said to him, ask him another question. He says to him, Hal qara'ta hadhihi al-ayah? Qul la as'alukum alayhi ajran illa al-mawaddata fil qurba. Where Allah says in his book that I ask you, the Prophet says to his community, I ask you for no reward, no material reward, except respecting my family, taking care of my family. He said, yes, I know about this verse. How do you know about it? How do you know about it? Imam Zain al-Abidin said, Wallahi nahnu dhul qurba. I am one of those dhul qurba, the family of the Prophet. The man was shocked. Billahi alayk. By God, are you one of them? He said, Bala wallah. Bala wa haqqi jaddina Rasulullah. Yes. Yes, I swear with my grandfather Rasulullah. The man was shocked. We've been told that those are non-Muslims. Those caravans are atheists. They are non-Muslims. And now I discover that the Imam, the grandson of the Prophet, is among them. Those are the daughters of the Prophet. People were brainwashed. In the market of Kufa, the same thing, Zainab alayhi salam. Imam Zain al-Abidin was so sick, he could not even speak. He was about to die, Imam Zain al-Abidin. He was about to die in Karbala, but God saved his life so he can continue the succession of Khilafah, the line of succession to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Ziyad, the governor of Kufa. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. A mass murderer. Mass murderer. Who murdered many people in Basra, in other places, in Yemen. They sent him to Yemen. They sent him to Basra just to crush people, just to murder. And Yazid found no one more ruthless than Ibn Ziyad. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad to send him to Kufa. To crush the revolution of the people. When Zainab alayhi salam stood in his courtyard, packed with military commanders, officers from the army who just came from Karbala, after accomplishing their mission by murdering Imam Hussein, they gathered in the courtyard of the palace of Kufa. The palace of the Kufa now is next to Masjid al-Kufa. If you happen to go to Kufa, next to the masjid, the mosque where Imam Ali used to be the imam, Imam Ali in that mosque was about 4 years and 9 months the imam. And ultimately he was murdered inside that mosque. Next to it, there was a palace. Now you can see the ruin of this palace. Qasr al-Imara, ancient palace. In that palace, they bring Zainab alayhi salam and those kids and those women who are taken captive from Karbala with the head of Imam Hussein and his companions. So Ibn Ziyad, this ruthless person, turns. He says, "Where is Zainab?" They say, "This is Zainab. She's standing there." He says, "Ya Zainab, alhamdulillah alladhi qatalakum wa aktaba uhduthatakum. وَأَرَاحَ الْعِبَادَ وَالْبِلَادِ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. I give a praise to God who murdered you, who finished up your man, who brought a freedom to the Muslim community from your men." What was her answer? If Zainab was an ordinary lady, she would scream, she would cry. But look at what she said. She said, الحمد لله الذي أكرمنا بنبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. If you praise God because he killed our man and my brother Hussein, I praise God because he made me part of the family of his honorable prophet. He honored me by making me part of the family of his apostle, his prophet. أكرمنا بنبيه محمد وأذهب عنا الرجس وطهرنا تطهيرا. And he removed all defilements, abomination from us, and he purified us. وطهرنا تطهيرا. He was even more frustrated because of her answer. Her answer is powerful. He wanted to put her down, that you are worthless, your family is worthless. But she brings the Quran. She says, "This is my family. This is exactly what God says about my family. My family is purified." وَأَذْهَبَ عَنَّ الرِّجْسِ وَطَهَّرَنَا تَطْهِيرًا. Then he tells her, "Ya Zainab," this is very important here. When you reflect upon this, this is very powerful. "Ya Zainab, كيف رأيت صنع الله بأخيك الحسين والطاغية العصاة من أهل بيته؟" What do you say about what God did to your brother Hussein and those who are with him, his children, his brothers? Did you see what God said, did to them? What was her answer again? Look at the daughter of Fatima. How do we know that Zainab is raised by Ali and Fatima? By her answers, by her stand. How do we know that Zainab had good parents and the best parents and the best upbringing and the best education? By her answers. by her stand. Zainab is alone. No one to protect her. She's standing in the palace of the Emir, the strongest man, the most ruthless man. The ruthless man in town. Not only in town, in the entire Bani Umayyah empire. They chose the ruthless man to come, to confront them. But rather than breaking down, she did not break down. Because she's connected to God. Zainab is the product of Rasulullah. Ali and Fatima alayhi salam. What was her answer? Listen to the answer, the best answer. We have to learn this. Zainab is an education for us, is a teacher for us. She said, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. I have not seen but grace and beauty and a blessing from God. مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. You look at this, Ya Yazid, as a victory for you. You look at this as a source of defeat for us. But what I look at it, how I look at it, Yabna Ziyad, I look at this as a victory, as a grace, as a privilege. Shahada, martyrdom, is a privilege from God. مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلِ فَبَرَزُوا إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ. God decided for them martyrdom. They never hesitated. They went forth. When God asked them to give their lives, they went forth. فَبَرَزُوا إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ. And Yabna Ziyad, you will see tomorrow when we all stand before our Lord. At that day, you will see the answer of your question. You will see who is victorious on that day. مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. This is the most beautiful sentence that comes from Zainab. مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. At the time of tragedy, at the time where she lost everything, all her children, a mother that saw her children, her brothers, she saw the massacre firsthand, right before her eyes on the day of Ashur. Zainab was inside the tent, bringing comfort to the kids, and outside, inside and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, on that day. She never had a rest. And she saw all these tragedies right before her eyes. But she did not break down. She said, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. I have seen nothing but a beauty, but a grace, but a blessing from God. A lesson for us. A lesson for our men and women. At the time of tragedy, don't lose yourself. Don't lose yourself. Don't lose your faith. Be connected to God. Say whatever God chooses. Life is too short. I'm going to stand before Him, before God. مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. This brings victory to Imam Hussein. If Zainab would yell and say, wow, look at what you did to me, to my family, to my brother. I can't continue my life. I have to kill myself. Believe me, today, we wouldn't have sat here to commemorate Imam Hussein. There was no day called Ashura, but because of Zainab. Zainab said, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. What God has bestowed on us is nothing but a beauty and victory. She condemned the regime and this tyrant, and she was victorious. Rather than being captive in the courtyard of Ibn Ziyad, he was captive. She was leading a victory. The same story happened, even bigger than this, happened in the courtyard of Yazid in Damascus. You know when she gave, and I will mention this one night, when she spoke before Yazid, look at what she did. They bring them in chains, handcuffed, inside the courtyard, handcuffed. Imam Zain al-Abidin, Zainab, the rest of them. A lady who's handcuffed. They are afraid of her. Afraid of her. They put her in chains. But then she defeated the entire empire. She made women on the other side, one of them was Hind, the wife of Yazid, to come inside the session. And she tells her husband, Yazid, shame on you, Yazid, shame on you. Shame on you. I'm not your wife anymore. This is what you did. This is what you do to the family of the Prophet. Shame on you. You call yourself Amir al-Mu'mini. This is the power of the truth. Truth cannot be defeated. You can defeat anything. You can knock anything down except the truth. And Ahlul Bayt are the embodiments of truth. I conclude, my friends, these nights are sad nights because Imam Hussein has just been buried now. 3 days after Ashura, Umar ibn Sa'd, the commander of Bani Umayyah, when the battle ended, he buried his soldiers and he left the bodies of Imam Hussein and Ahlul Bayt without burial. Imam Zainul Abidin came after 3 days from Kufa back to Karbala. He saw some people standing there from the tribe of Bani Asad, people who were in Karbala and around Karbala. He said to them, why are you standing here? They were afraid to tell him the truth because of the persecution of Bani Umayyah. They were too afraid to speak the truth. They said, we saw these scattered bodies on the sand dune of Karbala. He said, tell me the truth, don't worry. They said, Yabna, if we have amnesty, if you give us aman and amnesty, then we tell you the truth. We came to bury these bodies, but we cannot recognize them. We can't. We don't know who's who, because their heads have been separated from their bodies. Imam Zain al-Abidin said, I am the son of Hussein. I would tell you who's who. I need help. They helped him to dig a grave for Imam Hussein, another grave for his son Ali ibn al-Akbar, and another big grave for the companions. So they started carrying the bodies of the companions. They buried them. Then the body of Ali ibn al-Akbar. Then when he reached the body of Hussein, he said, Ya Bani Asad, ituni biqat'ati hasir. Oh, Bani Asad, I need a piece of straw. You know why? Because the body of Hussein was cut into pieces. He put the body of Imam Hussein on the straw and he carries it to his grave and he tells them, Inna ma'i man yu'inuni. I have helper who can help me, who can bring this body down to the grave. He put the grave of Imam Hussein, he put the body of Imam Hussein in the grave. And he says, Abatah, amma dunya fa ba'daka muzlima. My beloved father Hussein, this life after you is completely dark. Wa amma al-akhira fa binuri wajhika mushriqa. But the akhira, the hereafter, is illuminated with your light, with your face, Abatah. And then he buries Imam Hussein. And then when he finished, he said to Bani Asad, Ya Bani Asad, go and find, there is someone else missing. They said, we cannot find. He said to them, go to the Furat, Euphrates. You will find him there. They went to the Euphrates. They said, yes, there is a hero we can tell. This is a hero. Imam Zain al-Abidin, he said, yes. Wa Sayyidah, wa Abbasah. This is my uncle, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ السَّلَامُ عَلَى الْحُسَيْنِ وَعَلَى عَلِيِّ بْنِ الْحُسَيْنِ وَعَلَى أَوْلَادِ الْحُسَيْنِ وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. مؤمنين، Every year we collect money for the food of the Zuwar of the Arba'een of Imam Hussein. Those who walk to the city of Karbala from all directions. So if you'd like to help, so we can send the money ahead of time, give it to Hajj Samir, inshallah, Hajj Mushtaba, our brothers here. This money, inshallah, we cook food with it, blankets, sometimes medicine, and we provide them, inshallah. Those who come walking to visit the shrine of Imam Hussein, and you receive, inshallah, the thawab. Tomorrow we have Salatul Jumu'ah. In the evening, we have a youth session, important youth session. Invite your youth youngsters to come, inshallah, and to learn. And the speaker is Hajj Ja'far Yasa'i. He's going to encourage them, teach them about business, how to build, inshallah, this life successfully. When they build this life successfully, their akhirah, inshallah, is going to be successful. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ الطَّيِّبِينَ الطَّاهِرِينَ